Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
The three-man weave is finally, officially back. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Will T, my man, Ray Jeezy. What's going on, fam?
I'm about to be tangential because I got so much in my mind. First of all, UFC just sold for $4 billion, one of the best flips I've ever seen. And I'm just wishing that I had a piece of that. Dana White, he's about to be set for life. I wonder if he's going to be on TV as much now. Does he need that much airtime anymore?
Yes, he's the face of UFC. No fighter will ever
Ronda
be the face of
Rousey
UFC.
Ronda Rousey was the face of UFC ever told.
Ronda Rousey is very attractive. She's attractive to me. I'm gonna tell you this.
Dana White will continue to be the face of UFC just because of so many variables. Like, you think, all right, what's the only sport that we can compare UFC to? WWE, right?
Yeah, and they work together. Basically,
well, you can't compare it.
Well, no, I mean,
one is real and one is fake.
Okay,
they're both fake to me.
UFC is
very rehearsed. It's a plot. Nobody knew Ronda Rousey was going to lose going into that fight. Uh-huh. But you know when Ultimate Warrior is going to be Hulk.
Well, let me get.
Why do you always bring Ultimate Warrior and Hulk?
Well, let me get to my point. In wrestling, they can dictate and control who the stars are, right? Uh-huh. In UFC, you can't dictate or control who the star is simply because A, rampant drug use. I mean, not rampant drug use, but like we saw with John Jones. Mm-hmm. What if a guy like that who could potentially be the face ends up blowing a drug test, yeah, for one, and for two, the sport just hasn't caught on yet on a grand scale level. There isn't a transformative superstar yet. So Dana White will continue to be the face of this sport for a long time to come.
But I also think WWE would embrace John Jones for failing the drug test because everybody was juicing. That's why half of them commit suicide later. And in regards to Wilder, you was being a 1340 corporate guy.
What you mean?
Because you're biased towards wrestling these days.
I hate wrestling nowadays. I used to love it, but nowadays I despise it. And I can't stand UFC. John Jones matters, man. John Jones matters.
As I said, I'm going to be a bit tangential because the MLB All-Star Game is also airing right now at the same time as we are. Who do you think people are listening to, us or them?
Us, for ages, cuz. Get it right. You hear the tagline.
But I did see David Ortiz, though.
He's
still overweight, even though you're juicing. If you're going to juice, get some muscle. David Boston, LeRon Landry was juicing. You know it, Will.
Everyone knows that.
As a Washington Redskin fan, I refuse to believe that.
Okay.
Get some muscle.
What you mean, get some muscle?
Don't be Rafael Palmeiro or Roger Clemens staying fat, juicing, just trying to heal faster or whatever they do.
Look, man, that's if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's not what I hear. True. What?
Are you talking about in professional sports?
Yes.
All but like the NBA, I guess, huh?
You never know. I think NBA
Who's
players
singing
cheat.
The anthem?
I have no idea. Who is that? She has no butt, though. I just said that. That's cool, though.
And the show goes on.
Again, you listen to Urban Sports, see my man Ray Jeezy, Will T, and myself, Wally. Obviously, there's a lot in the news with what's going on with Black Lives Matter. That's how I phrase it.
All lives matter.
All lives matter, for real. But, you know, the situation they have in Minnesota and whatnot. Go ahead.
I want to comment first, and I want to tie it into the sports world. This is a sports show, right?
Yeah, of course.
Listen to these names. Riley Cooper, Richie Incognito, Fuzzy Zeller, who, as you know, former golfer, who said Tiger Woods should bring what?
Fried chicken and watermelon to the
Masters dinner.
Fried chicken.
Steve Williams. Y'all know Steve Williams is, correct?
Yes. His
Tiger, former caddy. Mm-hmm. Who said, I'm going to shove this win up his black. And Bill Romanowski. This stuff happens. These incidents occur within the sports community as well. I know we're going to have Cecilia on later. Uh-huh. And she's going to kind of put a different spin on how black athletes and black males are treated different and celebrated differently in the sports world. But underlying, there is racism even within the sports world. Considering that the major sports, which in my opinion is the NFL
and the NBA,
have bright young black athletes and predominantly the stars are black athletes. So I'm thinking that this issue needs to be addressed on a regular basis, even within the sports community.
No, I agree. I'm glad that you have, you know, athletes that, you know, out there standing out. I mean, standing out and talking about the cause. You had Carmelo Anthony come out and said he wished that more athletes would come out and say things. Don't worry about your brand. Don't worry about losing money. So I think little by little, we are getting athletes out there who are stepping up to the game and talking about what's going on.
I'll say this. I think in today's age, there isn't as much to stand up for as an athlete, uh-huh. Compared to when you look back in the 50s and 60s, sure. with the civil rights movement. Even though there are still social issues that need to be addressed, and athletes have a great platform to address those issues if they choose, I still believe that a number of athletes are far more worried about their brand and worried about their pockets. Now, that having said that, just because you have that forum doesn't necessarily mean that you have the aptitude to be able to address those social issues, meaning that you may not be as plugged in or you may not be as passionate about those issues. So I think it's a double-edged sword. A lot of people I hear who try to bash athletes because they don't stand up and speak out for these social issues, they bash them. Mm-hmm. But and they have a right not to. You know, we all have a right to either express or not express our point of views on things. Luckily today we have a platform. Uh-huh. Our platform may not be as big as others, uh-huh. but we're going to talk about some of these issues and we'll lend a voice to it and hopefully are moving, making progress on some of these issues. You got to take, you know, sometimes it frustrates me when I hear people say you have to take small steps to move forward. But to me, it seems like African American people, we've been taking small steps for over 400 years. Now we've gotten to a certain point, but you have to continue to ask yourself, how long are we going to continue to make baby steps until we make the progress that we truly believe that we need to see in America?
You're right that black athletes today don't have the same opportunities and the same struggles as athletes in the past. But two things come to mind for me. Donald Sterling, when he made those comments, the Clippers should have boycotted, period. They should not have played until he was out. They make enough money to where they shouldn't have been. They wouldn't have been hurting if they miss a few paychecks.
Yeah, okay.
And then with Riley Cooper should never played another down in the NFL that year. He should never stepped on the field.
That's Mike Vick, though, right? Mike Vick stood up for him, though, saying he should, you know.
I don't care, but LeSean McCoy and others uh-huh. were on the opposing side. And what I mean by that is you got to take the opportunities to allow people to learn. Uh-huh. When Tiger Woods, for adultery, basically, for out there, you know, being unable to control himself, he lost a lot of endorsements. He was pretty much shunned from the sport for a moral issue, right?
Uh-huh.
But you have a serious, you know, racial issue, and I believe that these things have been addressed in the past, you know, the Rooney Rule, to try to improve cultural diversity in professional sports. Why not take that opportunity to continue to advance that? Donald Sterling definitely, to me, was a blown or missed opportunity for Clippers players, and it's just, to me, absurd that the argument is, what are we supposed to do? You know, we have fans. No. If Verizon workers can strike, why can't you strike? Verizon workers strike for weeks at that.
Yeah.
And they're missing much, much less money than these guys. It's crazy. But my point from the beginning was, you know, these guys have the platform. Why not use it? You have the influence. Charles Barkley says, well, that's why I love him. He says what's on his mind. We need more guys like him. And right now, I don't feel like we have anybody close to that. Muhammad Ali, who we all celebrated weeks ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You think he would have played for Donald Sterling, bro?
Oh, nah. No, not at all. Not at all.
Absolutely not.
And it goes back again. It goes back to what Melo was talking about. He would wish that, you know, other athletes would step up and not worry about anything. And then you're right, Ray. That situation was definitely, you could tell that the team cared about, you know, the playoffs or whatever without having to stand saying he didn't want to play for Donald Sterling.
Let me give you the flip side of that coin.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Carmelo Anthony, a star player, established player, a star. We know the NBA is built upon star, individual star players.
Uh-huh.
You've ascended to the ranks of superstardom. Let's take.
Yeah, continue, Wilty. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to think of. Let's take a guy like a. Let's take an undrafted rookie, for instance, who's on the NBA roster,
uh-huh.
hasn't ascended to that to that certain level of stardom. If he goes and makes and tries to stand up for what he believes or his platform, there's a slight chance that he may get cut. Yeah. There's a slight chance that the coaching and ownership may say, I don't want this distraction. I don't want this problem. His talent doesn't equate this headache. So it's a double-edged sword. Like I said, just because you have a platform doesn't necessarily mean you have to stand up and speak for things, but you should. And it also depends on what point you are in your life and how and your level of conviction and your passion for the point, for the perspective or point of view.
And later on, we'll talk about this more, but with Cecilia and whatnot. But later on, because we'll have her from, she's from Gladiator.com. She's a blogger. She has an actual interesting blog on this whole situation, athletes and Black Lives Matter. So we'll get into it. But Will, let's get into our tradition.
The pregame.
You know it. Yesterday, Tim Duncan retired. So we're going to talk about his career. Also, we're going
to greatest player of the post-Jordan era.
Ooh, that's a good one. Exactly. That's a real good one. And we'll discuss the first half of the Washington Nationals and the Baltimore Orioles season. We'll get into Manny Machado and Bryce Harper as well. But let's get to Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan retired yesterday. Your thoughts on his career?
Well, automatically, people aren't going to put him as one of their greatest players ever, even though I think he's deserving of it, just for the simple fact that people always discount the importance of a big man, particularly in today's game where the big man doesn't have the role that he traditionally has had in the past. People automatically going to discount him. That's for one. For two, this guy has done something that few players have ever been able to do, which is develop a culture that will continue long after he's gone, that he's helped. He's a guy who helped lay the foundation and father the culture of what the San Antonio Spurs have been for the past 19 years and what they will be going on into the future.
We'll never see anything else like him. And when I say that, I mean, look at what happened with Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade should have ended his career in Miami. He should have never worn another jersey. Paul Pierce should never be seen wearing a jersey other than a Boston Celtics jersey.
Uh-huh.
But these guys, these days, these players, obviously, they want to make as much money as they can, which I don't blame them for that. But you're not hurting if you lose a couple million. Dwayne Wade did settle for less a few years in a row. And also, franchises are different, not as loyal,
uh-huh,
as we can see, which is why, you know, I'm kind of hurt to see Tim Duncan go, because he contributed so much for so long and he did it the right way. And as soon as he retired, of course, all the comparisons are to Kobe,
yeah,
and how he went out in the exact opposite fashion of how Kobe did it, which I just think at this point, it takes away some of the attention that he should be getting, some of the notoriety. Yeah. The focus should be on Tim Duncan and his great career. And if it wasn't for the aforementioned Kobe Bryant, maybe he has more titles. They had some great battles. But you know what? If there was somebody that had a kryptonite for the Lakers, Kobe, Shaq, that era, it was definitely the Spurs.
Totally agree with you. And look at his resume. Five-time NBA champ, NBA Rookie of the Year, 3 finals, MVPs, 2 NBA MVPs, an NBA All-Star MVP in 1999-2000 season, and 15 All-Star appearances. Tim Duncan and a plethora of first-team defensive and first-team NBA first-team NBA players. So when you look at Tim Duncan, it's a guy that, to me, has accomplished a lot in the NBA. And to what Will T and Ray said, my thing about Tim Duncan is, and you mentioned the battles he had with Shaq and Kobe, we're talking about a Tim Duncan who beat in the Spurs team, that would beat the Lakers team with a Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, one of the best duos of all time.
And Tim Donahue.
I'm not going to talk about the referees. I'm not going to talk about the referees. Don't do that, Ray. Don't do that. I'm just saying, like, and this is before Tony Parker had a jump shot, when Tony Parker was one-dimensional. Tim Duncan had to carry the load for that team. Dave Robinson wasn't the same Dave Robinson. We can all say that, seeing Dave Robinson for years. He wasn't the Admiral. He was Dave Robinson.
And Dave Robinson only won 2 rings.
Exactly.
And I'll also say this. You can't think of a superstar over the past 20 years that has consistently won and wasn't surrounded by Hall of Fame talent.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Now, Manu Ginobili will go down as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Tony Parker may go down as a Hall of Famer. But when those guys were drafted or brought into the Spurs organization, Manu Ginobili was a second round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
Tony Parker was a late first round pick. And when those guys, they ascended, they worked themselves up to a level, but there was no one who thought out of the break that these guys were all stars or potential Hall of Fame talent.
So I mean, I know what you just said. So basically, according to you, Will T, Tim Duncan's the best player of his era.
Yes, best player of the post Jordan era, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's my opinion.
And you're not counting current players.
In his prime, I feel like his era, like within the Kobe.
That's saying, like, if LeBron was to retire tomorrow, would you still feel that way?
Well, I don't feel like he's in the same era. That's
I don't feel like LeBron is necessarily
Jordan era. That's
well, excuse me.
Mm.
from there needs to be a distinction.
Okay.
From 97 through 97 through what? 2000.
She wants to say 2009 or
yeah.
I just his era compiles of Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Kevin
T-Mac.
T-Mac, that's his era to me.
Dirk,
yeah, exactly.
Chris Webber.
Shaq is in that.
Yes, Shaq. I said Shaq.
So he's better than Shaq.
Yeah, I'll take him over Shaq. And I just feel like because with like mentioning the battles he went through with the Lakers against the Lakers and seeing what kind of mismatch he was like it. The Lakers, like Robert Ory, not the best power forward defender, but a good defensive power forward. He would give him fits. Then they would try to switch off and put Shaq on him because they felt like Shaq can body him off the block, and he would just take Shaq off the block and go with that bank shot. To me, Tim Duncan was just a problem, period, for the Lakers, and that's one man going against arguably one of the best duos ever in the game.
Coaching plays a huge role, obviously. Pop is well known for the way he develops talent. But Tim Duncan, obviously, he was what do you call it? He was the whatever that makes the engine go. What's the saying?
The cog.
What's the saying?
I was about to say the engine.
You know, he makes the car go. Whatever.
He makes the car go. Let's go with that.
You know,
makes the car go. Rum, rum. I'm messing with you.
You had to build your team around him. I know that Tim Duncan has been celebrated throughout the past 2 days.
Should be celebrated more.
You know, the one thing I want to say as a negative, though, because you got to find something, a flaw, is that he was one of the most boring superstars ever to
compared
watch.
Compared to who? I don't think he's that boring. I think his skill should be respected. The big fundamental.
It was a high level. He didn't have any flash, but he had an extremely high level of skill.
You liked him, Duncan. But yet, you watched like Earl the Pearl highlights. You're like, man, I don't think the spin move.
That spin move was the slowest thing ever.
Innovative.
That's the slowest spin move ever.
Slow.
Tim Duncan was awesome, but that was the slowest spin move ever. Like, Earl the Pearl's spin move was like, it was the slowest spin move.
And listen, 80s basketball, that's what it looked like. And you know it.
Yeah, like it was you pathetic.
Know, your boy Magic is Magic the one, kinda, was the,
Magic
he's
made
the
it
one
cool.
That kind of, I guess, broke that trend. And
he made it he cool was for school.
He brought in, you know, the fast passes, the no-look passes.
You be careful when you talk about Magic. I don't know what you're about to go with this.
No. I'm just saying Magic transcended the game.
Oh,
because the 80s, if you watch Bird, you know, it was a pump fake, go to the rim. It wasn't anything flashy.
Mm-hmm.
But Magic Johnson brought that flashiness into the game. And Tim Duncan, he went back to the 80s fundamental basketball. But it worked, though. I'm just saying, if there's one flaw that you had to point out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to point out. You got with Kobe, when he retired, you point out a number of problems.
Of course I would. You know this. I'm not a Kobe fan.
Revolve around basketball. But going back to Tim Duncan, great. I don't know if he's top five. He's not in my top five. I'm sorry. Mm. All-time basketball players. But top 10, definitely.
He's in top 10.
It's arguable.
It's arguable. I think he's the top 10 player on our Facebook page. I mentioned, is he the best player of his era? Alina Grant said, yes, he is. My man George said LeBron and Kobe fans won't agree, but he believes he was. And also, my man Jay Love said he believes that Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You call you bump me when I'm reading. You don't bump me when they reading. That's messed up.
My man
Jay also agreed that Tim Duncan was the best player of his era. What's up?
I was just gonna say 13 straight seasons with averaging double double, right?
Yeah, 13. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, guys like Dwight Howard and others don't do that these days, and I think that goes by the Will's point. I was just gonna say that, dude. You always. Bumping me behind the scenes.
I do. I know.
To me, I'm like, what?
I know. So we do. That's what happens. That's what happens in radio. You got to do that.
I didn't mean to throw you.
I was like, okay, wait a minute. All right, we're here. Cool. I mean, Charlie said definitely the best big man of his era, arguably the best player of his era.
Hey,
you know what I mean? So
keep the tweets tight.
No, it's Facebook page, bro.
Oh, Facebook.
Facebook it.
I thought it was tweet.
Nah, this is Facebook.
Well, keep the comments coming.
There we go.
Search Urban Sports Scene on Facebook.
Keep the conversation going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Man, that's why you're here, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I love you, man.
You need a Max Deal.
I would give a Max Deal. Bradley Beal. Nah, not Bradley Beal.
Nah,
you're not about that,
not Bradley Beal.
You're not about Bradley Beal.
Well, you are injured often, though. You kind of had fun clowning while you were gone.
Doesn't matter.
Or will there ever?
At the end of the day, we hope that
we was helping you. We're glad you're back. Believe me, we're glad that you're back. Hey, do you think there'll ever be a big fundamental?
Nah. I think, yeah, I'll say, yeah. I think there's a possibility. There's a strong possibility. A strong possibility, just because today's big man is taught from a younger age to have a higher level of skill, a high level of skills. Mm-hmm. Whether it be, you know, dribbling, passing, shooting a three. I don't think they'll necessarily have his back to the basket game, but I do think you'll see what you're seeing is the evolution of the big man with a highly skilled big man. So, yeah, there's a possibility that it could happen.
Well, Tim Duncan submitted his legacy as one of the greatest NBA players ever. And over the weekend, another great athlete submitted her legacy, and that's Serena Williams. She got the number 22 Grand Slam victory. All happy for her. We'll have Senior Towns next from GladiatorHers.com discuss Serena Williams' Wimbledon victory. And also, we're going to talk more about the Black Lives Matter movement. It's the
Sports Team. For ages.
So I said deuces. See, now look, you messed up. Now I got for ages.
Deuces.
You dig. Now deuces again. Deuces.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter hammering away at his rock. Perhaps 100 times. Without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it was split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Sports Scene, we're back. Ray, Wally, Will T. I didn't pick that song, by the way.
I did.
Rotation. I'm just letting people know right now.
Wally did. Me, Wally, I did.
I nothing to do with it. That's all I'm the producer. Again, I want you to check us out on Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. Also, we're on Twitter. Urban Sports Scene, no S after sports. You can also listen to on the Sports Crib podcast each and every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. And before the break, I mentioned Serena Williams' 22nd Grand Slam victory. We have Cecilia Towns joining us now from GladiatorHers.com. What's up, Cecilia?
I'm great. How are you all?
We're
doing great. How are you? No. Yeah, she says she's great.
In her regular spot. That's how we're going to introduce her for now. One in her regular spot here on Urban Sports Scene. Glad to have her as always. So let's talk Serena Williams. What were your initial thoughts on her Grand Slam victory at Wimbledon over the weekend? That's her seventh Grand win at Wimbledon.
Yeah, I mean, it was just amazing. I think for a lot of people in our generation, we feel like we sort of grew up like watching them, watching her and Venus, you know, grow into the women they are. So I think I definitely speak for myself, but I think I speak for a lot of people when you say, like, you just feel like almost like it's your family winning. You know, we've been rooting for this girl since she was 14, 15 years old. So it's amazing. And to think like she has more in the tank, you know, I think 23 is right around the corner as well.
Yeah. Straight out of Compton too. That's amazing. You know, it just shows you can overcome the odds when you grow up in certain situations. I'm not going to elaborate too much on that, but she has come a long way for the beads though. Definitely. Do you think she'll obtain the calendar Grand Slam?
I don't know. I mean, I would love for her to. And I think that if anybody can do it in this era of tennis, I definitely think it's her. But part of me also thinks, well, maybe, you know, when she lost the U.S. Open, kind of like that was her year to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, right now, this would require her to put in another year since she lost the Australian. You know, she'd have to give us another sort of epic year after this year. And, you know, tennis is very taxing on the body and it's taxing on the mind. So I think for her to sustain that level of excellence basically for another 2 years, it's going to be hard. But, you know, I think if anybody could do it, it's her.
So when do you feel like she will retire?
You know, one of the reasons I love Serena is because she's never let anybody else dictate her career. So she's going to retire when she feels like it. And I think that she loves the sport so very much that, you know, it's not going to be easy for her to walk away. But I do think that when she does it, it's going to be completely, like, on her own terms. Like, you know, just because everybody else thinks it's time or just because everybody else thinks she has more to give, like, that means nothing to her. But I think her striving for excellence, she's not the type of player who doesn't know her place in sports history. You know, she recognizes what she's done in tennis, what she's done for women's sports, what she's done globally for sports. And so she's very aware of her talent and her pull in sports. And so I just don't think she's going to walk away from that very easily or anytime soon. I mean, why would you? Like, no one would expect Jordan to be talking about retirement, you know, like the year after he won his championship necessarily. So, like, she's still very much kicking butt. Like, I don't see it coming anytime soon.
Yeah, she is still on top. And right now it looks as though she can continue to win more and possibly, you know, break another record. So I totally agree. You know, arguably one of the, if not the greatest, female athlete of all time. Now, what I'm about to say next is kind of a segue into, you know, our next topic. And that is, if someone experienced firsthand racism within the world of sports, I mean, it's the Williams sisters. And we know that. And I want to get your thoughts on that as we transition into your blog and our next topic.
My opinion on their experience with racism?
Yeah, they experienced a lot, you know, traveling around the world.
Yeah. You know, I think that they are an example of sort of what a lot of people, a lot of black people in general have had to do in their lives, which is to sort of wear a mask, especially in the beginning stages of their career. I don't think they were ever, you know, afraid to confront the fact that they were black, but they never took sort of this sort of militant stance, and you know, that it's various reasons why they did that. But I think that they were also very conscious. They were conscious of their blackness, but also very conscious of the sport that they were playing and of their position in society for black people and how many people were looking up to them. And so sometimes I think we, as black people, find ourselves, you know, sort of wearing a mask in certain settings and hiding our true feelings about things and not speaking up on certain things, you know, because we just have to be careful. And I think that the older they've gotten and the more power they've gotten in their sport, I think you see them speaking up a little bit more. But I think they've always just handled it with a lot of grace, a lot of class, and so they're the epitome of I can show you better than I can tell you, really.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And, you know, moving forward, as I indicated before, You wrote a blog, which we love, by the way, titled America's Love for Its Black Male Athletes, which is a little different for you, of course. Discuss what inspired that.
Well, it's a topic that I have been sort of toying with in my mind for a while, which is this idea that, you know, America, the way it treats its black athletes is the same as it treats its, you know, average black man. And that, you know, its love for black male athletes is really just a facade. And so I've been thinking about it for a while, but, you know, the people's reaction to Kevin Durant announcing that he, you know, was going to OKC, coupled with the recent shooting in the way the public reacted to the killing of Philando Castro, as opposed to the reaction to the shooting of the Dallas police officers, it was kind of like the perfect time to write it. And I you know, I kind of shopped it around a little bit for another publication to try to pick up, but you know, I didn't get any response, and I was like, well, I mean, I know my blog is about women's sports, but before I'm a woman in sports, I'm a black woman, and you know, I just felt like it had to be said. What I had been thinking for a very long time, it just needed to be written.
I love that, and yeah. I want you to elaborate a little bit more on how you think that white America turned on Kevin Durant. You mentioned that in your blog.
Yeah, so I mean, the premise of it all, for people who haven't had a chance to read the article, is that white America, white supremacy, hates black men. And they hate black men because of the power that you possess, because of the potential that you possess. So everything that they put you through, you know, from the time that they brought you here as slaves, has been to, depress that power that you possess, mm-hmm. and to turn you into tools for capitalism, like everything, you know, Jim Crow, the Nadir, slavery, you know, the war on crime, I mean, war on drugs, all of that is sort of the tools of white supremacy against the black man. And so if that is your premise and you begin to look at sports, there's just a oogob of incidents where when black men are playing the role as entertainer and capital builder, you know, so they're making money playing football, they're making money playing baseball, making money as athletes, and they're staying within the comfort level of white America, then they can be praised as such. But the second that they step out of line, the second that they do something that white America is uncomfortable with or unhappy with, then, like, the true colors come out. So the same violent, negative, dehumanizing behavior is displayed against athletes who are doing nothing but trying to express their humanity. And so for me, when I saw the KD situation, you know, it wasn't just a case of fans being upset that somebody was leaving. Mm-hmm. You know, the rhetoric was very, you know, he's weak. Mm-hmm. Like I said in the article, people are burning this man, burning and shooting a jersey, literally lynching a jersey, mm-hmm. as if, you know, he's in the jersey himself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not normal behavior. And so, yeah, like it's an extension to me of the same hate and violence that they have inflicted on you all since, you know, this country was formed in the way it exists now.
And do you think that some of our black people in the media who actually, you know, kind of encouraged it a little bit? Because you mentioned, you know, KD being called weak. There was actually, you know,
say his name, Stephen A. Smith. Says
he's the one who called him weak. So would you say that some people within the media, you know, a black man plays into that as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you know, I say, I said just now, I said white America, but I, for me, it's more about white supremacy, right? Gotcha. So mm-hmm. black people and white people can support white supremacy. And some black people don't realize that their behavior is supportive of white supremacy. So, you know, the black police officer who doesn't treat the black, you know, in a humane way, is also supporting white supremacy. So, you know, Stephen A. calling a grown man mm-hmm. who is dictating his life weak to me is him, you know, promoting white supremacy mm-hmm. and not promoting his brother. I mean, there's to me, there's just a ton of different ways that he could have talked about his, the way he didn't appreciate, you know, Kevin Durant's decision, but I feel like, you know, the position he took, well, it was too far. He went too far in my mind. And you go too far for a number of reasons, but I think part of Stephen A's whole stick, in my opinion, is playing up to, like, white supremacy. Like, I just think, you know, I don't want to call him Uncle Tom. We're not going to go into that. We're not going to make it. Okay? But he's very bothersome to me. So, I'm
going to
leave it at that.
Kind of reminds me of the whole, like, OJ thing, how OJ wanted to be viewed back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, and like, this whole thing, I mentioned KD in the article, and I mentioned LeBron because these are recent incidents, but it goes all the way back. You know, Tommy Smith and John Carlos at the Olympics, they raise a fist in solidarity to tell the world that we exist, and they take their gold medals. You know, the second that black men try to show their humanity, black male athletes, you know, there's always some sort of pressure on them to, you know, get back in line. That's not what we want from you. We just want you to play ball type thing.
Well, CeCe, oh, yes, you want to say?
No, you seen Higher Learning. Remember Higher Learning? When Omar Epps didn't want to run? Well, Ice Cube said to him, I'm not going to say it on the air, though. That's what it reminds me of. I mean, I know it's a movie, but I'm telling you, people like Ice Cube who are brilliant in writing movies and writing raps.
Oh, they know.
And they were behind a lot of the various movements within the hip-hop community. I'm telling you, it represents, you know, what really goes on. That's what I really mean. I'm joking to some degree, too. But you get what I'm saying.
Hey, CeCe, your blog was awesome. Is there any way – tell the folks how they can reach you. I'm like, no. Tell the folks how they can reach you on Twitter and about the website and some of your other blogs that you – or maybe some blogs you have coming through the pipe.
So on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and even on Instagram, I'm Sporty Esquire. The blog, like you guys have told people so many times, I'm so thankful for, is gladiateherz.com. And although we're talking about white supremacy tonight, the blog typically is dedicated to women in sports, women of all races. The post we have coming up tomorrow is one of our features called Gladiator Wives, and we just highlight women who are married to professional athletes and trying to give them more of a positive coverage, you know. Aside from basketball wives and wags, that kind of stuff, like there's some women who are doing some really awesome things. And tomorrow we'll have a woman on. Her name's Christina Weaver. She's like a government lobbyist. Like she's legit in D.C. working as an attorney and lobbyist. And, you know, she just happens to be with a man who's in the NFL. So there's some dope women.
Oh.
That we're going to highlight tomorrow. So people should definitely check out the blog tomorrow.
Is she on social media? But I guess you'll put it on your blog if she is.
She's Miss Chrissy Esquire, but it's not Esquire spelled out. It's just ESQ. But yeah, you check out the blog tomorrow, her information will be on there.
Nice. Well, thanks as always for joining us. So we look forward to continue having you.
Thank you guys so very much for having me, and enjoy the rest of the night.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on.
All right.
Bye. That was CeCe. And she was deep. She was very, very deep.
Yeah, good discussion.
It always is, though. Always is. Anyway, the Major League All-Star game is on right now. The National League's up 1-0. We'll talk about that. And also, we'll talk about the Orioles and Nationals first half of the season. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Strast in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is Strast.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, oh.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Oh, glory. I love this song. Common and John Legend, they killed the song. Anyway, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene. My man Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wally. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. I mentioned before the break, we'll talk about the Orioles and Nationals, their first half of the season. Before we get into all that, the All-Star game is going on right now. Right now, the NL is up 1-0. Which young star from the DMV, and I mean, when I mean the DMV, I'm talking about the Washington Nationals and the Baltimore Orioles, which between the two of Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, who's gonna get out tonight?
Baltimore isn't.
Did you know what I mean? You're right. You're right. It's not part of the true DMV. You're right.
If I had to choose, I would probably go with Manny Machado over Bryce Harper at this point.
Well, right now, at this point in time, both of them are like 0-1. I'm a homer. I guess I would pick Manny Machado. Because he's having a better year.
I'm going with Manny Machado because I think that Bryce Harper is going to ask to be pulled because he's more focused on helping his team win the pennant.
So the Baltimore. So is Manny Machado. What you trying
Manny
to say?
Manny Machado's going against better pitching tonight, though. There's no American League pitcher better than Kershaw.
Kershaw's not even playing.
And I'm just saying, but I'm just the national.
Scherzer.
Scherzer's not playing.
Scherzer's playing.
He make it.
Yeah, he's
He came back. He's
Strasburg's replacement.
Oh, he's Strasburg's replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Fudge. I was going to say something else. I had to play that off.
My point is that the National League has better pitching than the AL, period.
Had better what?
The National League has better pitching.
I had to pull the roster up. I don't have time for that, so I'm not going to even debate it.
You can't do that.
Manny Machado's just been more of the more consistent player this season. You know, hitting about 319, 19 home runs, about 50 plus RBI. So to me, Manny Machado's just been the more consistent. I think Bryce is hitting 256, same amount of home runs, close enough. I think about the same amount of RBIs, but I think Manny Machado, in terms of being, you know, the constant weapon for the Baltimore Orioles, he's just been that guy, especially and playing infield at a Gold Glove level. I just think he'll have the better night.
Manny Machado's definitely more consistent as we speak. I don't think he gets walked as much. You would probably have to look that up too. But
he doesn't get walked.
If you had to pick one, yeah, of course Manny Machado is definitely, I think, the easy choice at this point in the season. Definitely. And by the way, I said this before. Nationally, Manny Machado, especially the four letter network. They don't recognize him enough. It bothers me. They overlook him so much, which is annoying. But you see, he's mentioned it just now in this commercial.
Of course, yeah. Watch,
which is cool. But again, this is a Fox All-Star Game promotion. This is not, you know, Manny Machado on a Gatorade commercial. I just think he needs to get more love. And I'm sure he has endorsements. I'm sure he does have endorsements, but I'm just saying, you get what I mean.
Yeah, but it goes to Will T's argument that you mentioned before the break, during the break, matter of fact, I'm sorry, when we were just rapping.
I've said it on this podcast before that baseball is a regional sport. It's dictated regionally by fans of the sport and not nationally. The tradition or the catchphrase has always been baseball is the nation's pastime. Uh-huh. That time is long and past us. Baseball now currently is a regional sport that's driven off of regional fan viewership. I can't remember the last time you've seen fans from all across this great country get excited to watch the MLB national game. It just doesn't happen. Uh-huh. People follow their team. Follow their team locally, but baseball is not a national. It's not the national pastime anymore.
How have we gotten to this point? Is it a lack of star power? Is it because a guy like Derek Jeter and a guy like Alex Rodriguez, Ken Griffey Jr., are they bigger stars than the guys we have today?
I think it's a couple of things. A, baseball doesn't do enough to promote the individual stars, the individual talented stars that they have. B, in today's society where people are ready to get up and go, and in a microwave society where we want things now, baseball is a very slow game. People don't want to take the time to watch a baseball game hardly anymore. You're not getting the youth to watch baseball. They're into soccer, they're into basketball, they're into football. They aren't into baseball. So I think it's a combination of things. And three, we all know that during the live ball era, that's when baseball was at its peak. Mm-hmm. That's what people watch. People want to see offense. You aren't seeing that today. You aren't seeing that in baseball today.
Bring back the juice.
Bring back the juice.
No, I think baseball's on its way with the influx of young talent. I think it takes its time. I mean, these things in sports go in cycles. And now with Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant, you got the Cubs, a resurgent organization, a popular organization now that's vying for a postseason or a World Series championship. And then you look at the Royals who've come back. They used to be a powerhouse team in the 80s. So I think little by little, the sport is getting better, and especially with the young talent. I believe I'm a big fan of the young talent baseball is producing right now.
The best thing that could happen for baseball is if the Cubs keep winning, a major market team like the Cubs keep winning, because that'll bring, when you have a big market team, that puts them in a national spotlight.
I think the Yankees is that team.
That too, and I think a cool thing, and just I'm gonna keep a local flavor too. If we ever got a Beltway World Series, I think that's a thing that would be a blessing for Major League Baseball as well.
Nah, not nationally.
That would be huge for us here.
The reason why I say it, not just because because of just the local audience.
Oh, Manny Machado versus Bryce Harper.
Those are two of the big, like it or not, honestly, and Manny Machado was one of the higher voted players on third base. You get Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, these two individuals in the World Series, it's going to be ratings. Same thing. You get Bryce Harper versus a Mike Trout in the World Series, it's going to be big ratings. If you get two of the three, I call them mega young stars in the game of baseball, you're going to get that attention.
So what we're basically saying is Rob Mansfield, the commissioner of MLB, you need to put the fix in.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to get these young stars and fix it.
Think about why in the 80s did basketball come back?
Magic and Bird.
And they played each other when?
In the championship.
And it was instant ratings, right? So you get that opportunity. If baseball can get that type of thing, I think they have a good shot to at least.
It's going to be hard to do in baseball.
It's going to be hard.
There's a lot of good teams in baseball. Back then, there was no other good teams.
No, I agree.
So, but I just want to say kind of along those lines, every major sport outside of maybe the NFL goes through this. Mm-hmm. There was a time where the NHL was no longer popular because of their strike or their lockout, whatever you call it. They weren't on ESPN any longer. NBA, we talked about the post-Jordan era. Basketball wasn't the same after Jordan retired. There was that lockout.
Uh-huh.
The Spurs won their first championship against the Knicks. It was like Latrell Sprewell versus Tim Duncan. It was. Yeah. It just wasn't
the trail at L and Larry Johnson.
It happened. So I don't feel like it's a big concern that baseball is going through a period where it's not as popular as it once was. And I think there will be a resurgence. And all these factors that we discussed could contribute to that.
So between sticking with the thing between Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, who's going to have the better second half of the season?
Bryce. It can only go up for Bryce. He's, you know, hasn't played to the level of the historic level that he played to last year as the NL MVP. I truly believe that, you know, Dusty's starting his shaking up the lineup. He's put Daniel Murphy hitting three, Bryce hitting four, and Wilson Ramos, who's having a good year as an all-star, hitting behind Bryce Harper. So you're going to have to pitch to Bryce Harper more. He's going to get more opportunities to swing for the fences. So that's why I'm saying Bryce Harper.
Feel free to join the discussion. The question is, who do you think is going to have a better second half of the season, Bryce Harper or Manny Machado? The phone number is 240-478. That's 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Huh? What'd you say?
John Thompson, you forgetting your own phone
number. I know, right? Ain't that so? I know, right? On our Facebook page, Kathy also said Bryce as well. On another individual on our Facebook page, Mary said she believes it's going to be Manny Machado who's going to have the second, have the best second half of the season between the two. I said Manny Machado, but I'm almost on the side of saying Bryce Harper. The reason why I'm going to say Bryce Harper because what Will T said, it has to go upwards. He's a guy that I believe baseball to me is all about percentages and the averages. And Bryce Harper to me is not a 256 hitter. I believe he's a 280, 300 type of hitter and a guy who can, you know, do so much, especially with the protection he's going to have. You mentioned Wilson Ramos, Daniel Murphy. Hopefully, Ryan Zimmerman improves and gets back to being
Jason Worth is hitting 300 for the month of June.
So hopefully in that situation, he'll get more protection, allowing him to get more pitches to hit, and he can do some things with it. So I'm changing my mind. I think that because of the percentages, I think that Bryce Harper will have a better season, or better second half of the season than Manny Machado. But I think Manny Machado is in line to have a great second half of the season. I think he's gonna win. This is a bold prediction, whatever you want to call it. I think he'll be AL MVP. I'm a firm believer that because what he's doing and how he's improving. Every season and the protection he does have a lot of protection. He's going to always get pitches and he plays defense at such a high level that he's going to always be in that discussion. The Nationals right now are first place in the NL East. What has surprised you about this team so far?
What surprised me about the Nats so far? Steven Strasburg starting the season 12-0. Bryce Harper's play during the first half and this team still being able to be tops in the NL East. And probably the third thing is Danny Espinosa. Danny Espinosa, the way he's hitting the ball. You know, he's tied or
his 18 home runs.
I believe he's tied for the league. For the team league. We always knew that he was an excellent defensive shortstop, but when you have him, you know, being able to hit home runs from both sides of the plate, you know, at the number eight spot in your lineup, that's a dangerous weapon.
To me, Danny Espinosa, I agree. I think he's the he's definitely a bigger surprise. It's a guy that they wanted to a lot of Nats fans wanted Trey Turner to start over him. That's the young phenom who plays plays shortstop for the in the Nats minor league system, and I believe he's called up anyway because of the injury to Ryan Zimmerman, but Danny Espinosa is playing, you know, playing out as well. I mean, still a guy who strikes out a lot, but he drives. He's a guy who could probably hit about 30 home runs this season. He's in pace. He's on pace to hit more than 30 home runs this season. But I feel good for Danny. If I'm Danny Espinosa, I feel good about myself. I'm a guy that people want to run out of town. Like they want to run me out of town, and now I'm one of the key players for this Nats offense and defense.
So with that being said, are the Nats competing for a World Series?
Absolutely.
Do they need to add something before and add an additional piece before, trade deadline, right?
Yeah, you're right. The Nats, to me, I'm not a big fan of Papelbon. I don't think that.
Right.
Yeah, to me it's the same issue that this team had to deal with over the last some odd years. Everybody complained about Drew Storen not being able to, you know, close games out in the postseason.
He couldn't.
He couldn't. No, he couldn't. And Papelbon doesn't look that consistent in the regular season. And we just, let's say we're in the postseason. Do you feel that you can really trust Papelbon?
No.
I don't trust him. Mm-hmm. I feel definitely far more comfortable with him than Storm.
Okay.
I do think, like you both alluded to, you do need another power arm in the back of that bullpen. And you need to make a decision if Ryan Zimmerman is still an everyday player at this point. You know, I know that he's for a certain, you know, he's a guy who came up through your farm system and you paid him a lot of money. But Ryan Zimmerman is a guy who in the past has been often injured and hasn't given you production. This season seems to be, this is the perfect storm. Well, the imperfect storm, rather, I'll say, because he isn't healthy and he isn't giving you production.
Yeah.
Years past, he was giving you one or the other.
Yeah. So
this year, he's not giving you production or staying healthy. So you need to make a decision if you want to potentially bring in or change up the lineup to put Daniel Murphy at first base. And that way you can get Trey Turner in the lineup. Uh-huh. But you need to make a decision on what you're going to do.
And just want, Danny Espinosa has 18 home runs. I think he's second to Bryce. I think Bryce has 19. So but just want to clear that one.
Okay,
up.
Yeah, no problem.
No, for myself.
Let's quickly move up the beltway. Wally is the lone Orioles fan on the set, so we'll ask you the questions. The Orioles are in first place, of course, in the AL. Can they keep this up?
They're going to have to improve with starting pitching. And what I mean that you have people like pitchers like Kevin Gausman, who's going to have to step up, but he's going to stay in the rotation. They're going to have to replace Yovaldo Jimenez, who looks like he's on his way out of the rotation. There are talks out there that maybe Dylan Bundy, their prize prospect, who's now been in the bullpen because he's been getting his arm right because he had Tommy John surgery a couple years ago. So he's on an innings count, and just similar to what Steven Strasburg was on, but he's actually in the bullpen. He started the season throwing about 93. And if you know anything about Dylan Bundy, he was throwing 97, 99 when he was drafted and brought into the minors. So he had that power arm. Now he's built his arm up to a point. Now we're at the midpoint of the season. He's been clocked at 98 to 99, 97. So he's getting his arm strength back. And he's actually been really effective in the bullpen. So now there's talks about, you know, giving him a couple spot starts to replace Yovaldo Jimenez. But again, he's on an innings count. So he can't, to be honest with you, he probably won't be able to start probably till August. But again, the Orioles, to me, are in a situation where they can't really stall time. You got the Boston Red Sox, who are about two games out. You still got the Blue Jays right behind them. So the Orioles have to improve on their pitching for them to keep this AL East lead. But again, with the offense, they do have a Mark Trumbo who leads the AL in homers. You have Adam Jones, who's, you know, hitting well at the leadoff spot. Manny Machado, we've all mentioned. I believe this Manny Machado will be AL MVP. Excuse me. You got Chris Tillman out there, who's I believe is 12-2. Chris Tillman's 12-2 as a starting pitcher. So they do have good things going for them, but they got to shore up. They got to shore up that starting rotation. So I think Dylan Bundy getting into the rotation is something they have to take care of.
So can they compete for a championship?
At this point in time, I'm saying no. Because I just feel like you gotta clean up that starting rotation. We going into the baseball postseason, you can't always feel that you're gonna hit home runs to win a series. That doesn't work in baseball. You're gonna have to have decent pitching to shut it down, or at least, you know, and you can't, to me, the Orioles rely on their bullpen so much, and the bullpen is an excellent bullpen, but there's so much you can put on them throughout the course of the season, and then asking them to do that same, putting in that same work in the postseason. That's a lot of pressure put on the bullpen. So they're going to have guys to step up.
All right, I think it's a wrap. Baseball is the show, the most popular regional sport, not national.
According
sport.
To Wilty, yeah.
And Wilty is great with demographics. He says the NFL is going to globalize, and that's exactly what they're
doing. That's why Wilty's a man. That's the reason he's a Wizards fan.
The NBA has been globalized. So now the NFL is trying to catch up. Like Wilty said 6 years ago.
6 years ago?
Yeah, when the show started.
You said it six years ago?
Yeah, it was one of the first shows we ever did. He said the NFL is all about globalization, and let alone they're playing games.
Right, your memory is like the best thing in the world, dude. Real talk. True story. Real world. Seven
now
strangers in one house.
Real talk.
Now, can we do that? Can we do that right now?
Now that's real talk.
Hey, we out, man. Mecca, lead us out, homie.
to the swag.